Coming up on podcast 1246, Volkswagen Group's electric sales are going through the roof, and find out why on the podcast today. Stick around. Also on the show today, getting Wi-Fi at Tesla superchargers looks like it's around the corner. But if you want to buy a Cybertruck, the order page has changed, and that looks a little bit odd to us. What about this Vietnamese car coming to the US market? And we ask why auction sales of EVs could get a little more detailed in the future. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It is Saturday, the 16th of October. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with the headline story today. Volkswagen Group's electric sales have doubled in Q3, and year-to-date, so the first 9 months of the year, up 138%. Wowzers, compared to 2020. But of course, you know, COVID year and all that. Be careful comparison. Volkswagen reported strong EV sales in the third quarter of the year, despite dealing with... Now, COVID's out of the way, not completely, but there's a chip shortage since the beginning of the year, reporting 122,100 battery electric vehicles delivered to customers from July the 1st to September 30th. So the third quarter of the year, 122,100 pure battery electric vehicles. That's an increase of 109% compared to the same period last year. And of course, that is for the group as well, not the brand VW, but still a huge increase. And like I say, 138% increase year on year as well. The pure electric battery share of VW as a whole, if you like, globally as well, deliveries rose to over 6% in Q3, and globally VW delivering a total of 293,100 EVs in Q3. So just some fantastic news there when you look at the entire market. Now, of course, they are really pushing into China. A significant portion of their sales are in China, the world's biggest car market. If you split out those numbers that I just gave you, they delivered 28,900 pure electric vehicles in Q3 in China, compared to about 18,000 in the first half of the year completely. Year-to-date sales in China, 47,000 pure electric cars by the end of September. About 16% of the group's global battery electric vehicle deliveries. Yes, their activity in China has been a little bit slow to get off the ground, as small cars like the Wuling Huangguang does really well. And also some of the more premium German brands do pretty well. And Tesla as well has really captured those that are sort of tech savvy and tech forward as well. Well, in the US, the Volkswagen Group delivered 27,300 pure electric vehicles in Q3, in the quarter, accounting for 9% of their global BEV delivery. So what have they been delivering? Well, 72,000 ID4s and 52,000 ID3s. VW's performance brand Porsche delivered 28,600 pure battery electric cars. That's about 10% of the entire group sales so far this year. The Porsche Taycan, which comes in, is it 6 or 8 different flavors now, is doing particularly well. I'll pop a link to Future Car in the show notes if you'd like to read more. So yeah, VW are still behind Tesla. VW still have that very public goal that Herbert Diess has stated to be the world's number one EV maker. They know they've got to go some to overtake Tesla, but they are catching them at a rate of knots. Tesla could do something between, well, depends on their Q4 really, but Tesla could do 850 or 870,000 vehicles produced this year. It won't be a million. People keep telling me it's going to be a million, but chip shortages and other factors coming into play as well. Berlin not getting off the ground. Austin not making cars till next year. It won't be a million cars this year, but maybe around 850, maybe 880 if the wind is behind them. So Tesla are still clearly dominating on the worldwide stage, but VW having all of their brands to help bolster their number rather than just 4 models with Tesla, or really just 2 actually, because they don't sell any of the S and the X. So again, not really a level playing field, but Volkswagen getting closer to their stated goal. Now let's talk about Porsche selling 2 Taycans for every Model S that Tesla shipped. Taycans had a fabulous year. Model S got off to a very slow year, and we're almost at 12 months now since the Model X was even produced. Surely those Model X cars have got to get into customers' hands within a few days. They can't go a year without making any Model X's. But there was a time when if you wanted to go to the very top of the tree from an electric car, it had to be a Tesla Model S. It was fast, it had amazing range, and it was from an exciting young startup company. Well, now that Tesla matures, some of that kind of Maybe that sheen is starting to wear off just a little bit. Don't get me wrong. They're still a massively exciting company. But people like Porsche buyers are less interested in moving away from their favourite brand just to get an electric car because it was the only one on offer. And so it's proven with the sales figures looking at the Taycan. The Taycan has been selling 2-1 to the Model S on a global scale. Not in the US, of course, but in the on a global scale, Tesla shipped 13,000 S's and X's in the first 9 months of the year, but we know none of them were X's, so we can all say they were all S's. In contrast, they delivered about 630,000 threes and Y's. So, look, the S really is such a niche, but I like it being in the lineup because it's such a cool, sexy, pardon the pun, car. Well, if you look at the Porsche Taycan numbers, latest sales figures from Porsche, as I mentioned, 28,640 Taycans sold so far this year. In the US, sales topping 7,000, which is a big increase on last year. So while they are not particularly showing Tesla how to do it in the US market, on a global scale, selling of a 2-1, which is kind of interesting, but really the Model S hasn't been that much on sale, has it? And people would argue that they're only really now starting to make those cars in a slightly in slightly more volume, whereas the Taycan's been around a while and there's a few variants to pick from. But still, hey, I'm sure Porsche are going to take that as a win nonetheless. And you can find out more about that story, Jalopnik story. I found that. I'll pop that in the show notes if you would like to read more. Right, let's continue and talk about that small Chinese car that I've mentioned already, the Wuling Mini EV. Cumulative sales of that vehicle, what do you reckon they're at now? Well, the numbers are just astonishing. The Wuling Mini EV, which is China's number one electric vehicle, it's tiny, about as wide as it is long. You could probably put one on each foot. It is 400,000 in now since the launch in July 2020. They have had huge success in China where people customize their car. They put little ribbons and bows on top or bunny ears and they deck out the inside. It's kind of funny to see how young Chinese consumers really make these cars their own. However, the Wuling Hongguang Mini EV just passed the 400,000 unit mark at the end of September. That equates to about 28,000, 29,000 deliveries in each of the 14 months that the Mini EV has been on sale in the Chinese market. It is a huge success story for the domestically made car that allows many young people living in big urban environments to get into their own vehicle. In September alone, they registered 35,169 of them, of course, leading the way, leading the category. It's a much cheaper car than the Teslas, of course, in China, but still, they're going to make a new one of those cars. They're going to update that car very soon with a bigger battery, slightly higher price point as well, but that does put it into then the window for the incentives. So it kind of works out pretty well. Now let's talk about the Tesla Model Y coming to the UK. Hurrah! Now, my international listeners will be thinking, that's not really a big deal. We've had the Model Y for a long time. Why are you excited, young man? Well, it's because the right-hand drive Model Y, even though it's been where is it? It's right-hand drive models. I thought it was in Australia, but one of my Aussie listeners said, no, it's not here. I thought, I could swear I saw somebody in Australia driving a Model Y in a social media post or something. I think Hong Kong or Singapore right-hand drive, and finally coming to the UK. Pretty sure these are going to be right-hand drive Chinese-made Model Ys. I don't know. I mean, they could ship them from Fremont, of course, I guess. Anything is possible, so I would probably say, like, with a 95% certainty, these are going to be made in China Model Ys, and finally on sale. Hurrah! Right-hand drive, long range, 55,000. Performance, 65,000. Long range, 315 miles, 0-60, 4.8 seconds. Performance, 298 miles, 0-60, 3.5 seconds. And again, I know you know what the Model Y does, but sometimes those stats do differ around the world. We use WLTP here. Performance is such a stunning car. You get the 21-inch Uber turbine wheels, you get the red brake calipers, you get the lowered suspension, different kind of lights and all the trim and stuff on the current cars. And what would you go for? Are you thinking Hyundai Ioniq 5, which is cheaper, maybe Audi Q4 e-tron, which is more luxurious, or a Ford Mustang Mach-E GT Performance. Well, I'd want to drive both of those before spending my own hard-earned money on either of those cars, but I think if you want the software and you want the supercharging network and you want to be part of the whole Tesla thing, it's really hard to turn down. My UK listeners who drive Teslas already, I know, because my WhatsApp filled up immediately from people saying, oh, I know you want a Model Y, order one quickly. And but also I've got one friend that bought two, got another friend that bought three of them today, and people are who drive the S3 and the X, yes, that is in the correct order, I know, desperate to get into the Model Y simply because it's the latest, greatest toy that they can play with, whether the, you know, the cars suit them or not. But that's good. That's good for me because, you know, I would really, really love a brand new Model Y. It fits into our family life. It's my wife likes the seating position, the styling more. She likes to be a little more raised rather than a sedan. I would love a Model 3, and of course, the used ones here at Standard Range Plus are more expensive than the new one. That's bonkers. Anyway, and so, you know, that used market is definitely going to have some changes to those pricing, you know, prices of used Teslas. But when do the cars arrive? Well, early next year. We think February for long range, and from talking to people, the best guess is kind of summertime, June, July, which is going to be performance. Will those cars come from Berlin is a really good question that you might be asking. I don't know. I mean, I doubt it. I think they'll be made in China because I think the Berlin factory won't be ramping up right-hand drive. They'll be making all the left-hand drive versions, but I'd love to be proven wrong. Right, coming up on the podcast, oh, by the way, let me know if you ordered a Model Y. I'd love to know because I would love one of those. I mean, if you're spending £55,000, I mean, you're buying a nice car on a long-range one already. But any of my listeners bought one, ordered one today, I'd love to hear from you. And let me know what spec you went for as well. Colour, wheel, combo, etc. I'm super interested. Right, coming soon. Vietnamese electric cars coming to North America. And the Moke goes electric. Stick around. Now let's talk about all Tesla superchargers to have Wi-Fi access soon, reaffirms Elon Musk, saying that when you pull up to a Tesla supercharger, you will indeed be able to get Wi-Fi access, do some streaming, clear your emails, do a bit of work. Your car can connect if you want to the supercharging station. It was April 2019 when he said it'll enable video when parked and connected to Wi-Fi, and that over time they'll have free Wi-Fi. Well, fast forward 2 years, and based on a recent Twitter conversation, it's always a recent Twitter conversation, Tesla does still plan to give Wi-Fi access to drivers using the supercharger network, but all of them will get it eventually, albeit a little bit slowly. Over the next few months, they'll be revisiting their existing supercharging stations to put those Wi-Fi connections in. I wonder if it's going to be one of the perks which they sell to Tesla owners. If they do indeed open up the supercharging network, at least here in Europe, because we've got the CCS plug, so it's kind of a no-brainer. We haven't got the Tesla proprietary connector. If they do that, maybe the Wi-Fi is a bit of a Tesla perk, and then third-party cars don't get that. I wonder if they're going to try and put some incentives in there, or just like to sort of, you know, just sweeten the deal a little bit for Tesla owners that might be a little bit miffed that, you know, all the rabble get to use their own superchargers. I would be annoyed. I mean, I speak to lots of Tesla owners that are happy because it opening up the supercharging network will increase the adoption of electric vehicles. And I get it. I see that. And I'm delighted as a non-Tesla owner. But if I did own a Tesla, I'd be like, no, it's my thing. Stay away. Right. Next, let's talk about the Cybertruck being deleted from the... Okay, let me not be sensationalist. The ability to order a specific Cybertruck has been deleted from the Tesla website. This is huge news today. The vehicle was previously on sale in three trims. Single motor rear-wheel drive, $40,000. Dual motor all-wheel drive and tri-motor all-wheel drive. Tesla has now removed pricing and model information from the Cybertruck reservation website, replacing it with a very simple buy now button that will allow you to give Tesla $100 of your fine money in return for a reservation, a place in the queue, if you like. And it says you will be able to complete your configuration as production nears in 2022. Reports foxbusiness.com. The website previously listed three versions of the Cybertruck. Tesla doesn't, of course, have an active communications office, so we need to rely on what Elon Musk tweets. I've said nothing about this, but people who take, you know, either Wayback Machine or have screenshots of the website, it's a very, very different Cybertruck page now. You can't have a look at any of the specs of the vehicle. There used to be spec sheets for, if you look at the single motor rear wheel drive, there was a spec sheet that said 250 miles of EPA range. There was the bit that said, you know, autopilot comes as standard, adaptive air suspension comes as standard, 16-inch ground clearance, all those specs, that's all gone now as well. So I wonder if they're really having to make changes to the Cybertruck and have stopped being specific on what that vehicle will look like. If anything, I wonder if it will make the Cybertruck more intriguing, or whether people will view it with suspicion. It was meant to be on the market right now, but because of supply issues and the battery technology not being ready with the 4680s, that's now been delayed by 12 months. So it'll be the end of next year that the first Cybertrucks make their way into the market. But that's, well, I mean, it's kind of interesting that you now can't buy one specifically. All you can do is put down a deposit, join a queue, and then configure later. But even the pricing has all been taken off. And that's, I think, the thing that raised a lot of suspicion from people, that everyone who put their reservation in to get the car, the vehicle, at $39,900 are going to be told, hey, by the way, it's not on sale at that price. Now, Electrek, the website, reported that a move like that would mean Tesla don't necessarily plan to launch the Cybertruck with those configurations anytime soon. That's to be expected, since over the last 2 years, the vehicle will definitely have evolved. Do you think the Cybertruck will have evolved? What about Roadster and Semi? Goodness me, they're old now. But the Cybertruck wasn't really massively out of date, apart from the pricing. The Model 3 has been increasing. The Model 3 now starts at $42,000 US. And they were still selling a Cybertruck for $39,900. That was crazy. So that's been fixed, if you like, now. But yeah, I'm not sure that Cybertruck will ever be sold for $40,000. I can't be with the specs that they said. I would love it to be. Of course, the Cybertruck, a North America only vehicle, doesn't pass, as far as I know, the reason doesn't pass the EU European crash, the frontal impact test for pedestrians, because it's so angular and they won't want to soften it. And so I think that's the reason why, you know, it can't be sold over here, and they won't redesign it, so it'll never be. If you're one of my European listeners with a deposit down on it, I'd love to know how you feel about that kind of free loan that you're giving to Tesla with no sign of a Cybertruck ever being released over here. But maybe they will. Maybe you want that place in the queue, or have you cancelled yours and got your money back since Elon confirmed it will not be coming out of the North American market. Okay, next, we'll talk about Vietnam's VinFast selling cars in the US by the end of 2022. Really intriguing. We've been talking about this for a couple of years now, and this is the Vietnamese company VinFast saying that they'll begin accepting pre-orders for the VF E35 and the E36. They are electric SUVs in the first half of 22. Deliveries will be scheduled for the end of 2022. Incredible, really, from a company that I guess most people will know very little about. Wow, even if they get a car by December next year, it'll be absolutely incredible. As part of the plan, VinFast's CEO explained that being part of Vin Group, which is Vietnam's largest conglomerate, has offices already. They're working out of California, establishing a network of 60 dealerships across the country. Most of the sales will be online, and manufacturing taking place in Vietnam. Tell me if you would buy a VinFast machine. I would definitely want to see more about it before I started giving them my money, and maybe watch a few reviews on YouTube first. A car that you'll know all about, though, it's been around for such a long time, is the Moke. Maybe you call it the Mini Moke. But it's a front-wheel drive, utility, kind of recreational vehicle. It's got little, tiny little wheels. It's open-topped, kind of square windscreen. You know the one I'm talking about? The Moke, right? That is going all electric. And from January next year, you can get yours. The order books are open now. The prices start at £29,000. That's €34,000. It's a vintage Jeep that is full of style, and if you like quirky cars and you want to drive electric, you can now order yourself a Moke. 0 to 55 kilometres an hour. What's that? 30 miles an hour? In 4.5 seconds. It'll top out at 100 kilometres an hour, so just under 60 miles an hour. 33 kilowatt motor on that as well. Range of about 144 kilometres. And it'll recharge on a simple Type 2 socket. So I'm not sure that it's even got DC fast charging on that at all, which is, you know, quite a lot of money for a bit of 1960s vintage glamour. Maybe you are a fan of these little vehicles being driven by the Beatles, the Beach Boys, and Bridget Bardot, says electrive.com. So I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you would like to read more. It's definitely going to stand out if you were driving down the road in an electric Moke. I think that would suit so many people that like something a little bit more quirky in their driveway. Next, we take a first look at the Volvo C40 Recharge and ask, is it worth $60,000? The XC40 Recharge is a fabulous car from Volvo. Range and efficiency, not the best in the market, but if you don't mind about that, maybe not doing long journeys, I think the styling is absolutely on point. I love Volvo styling right now. The last few years, it's just been so, so good. And the powertrain, all-wheel drive, 300 kilowatts of power, 75 kilowatt hour battery, 78 gross, shares it with the Polestar 2, 261 miles WLTP, and when the EPA rating comes in, that's going to be a lot less because we know that the XC40 struggles a little bit in that area, but the C40 is basically the same car but with a sport back on the rear. Now, my buddy Kyle Connor from Out of Spec Motoring and Out of Spec Reviews says, why would you spend more money and get less car? Just get the SUV XC40 Recharge. But he's got dogs and he's practical. Look, I think the styling of this, certainly the side shape when you look at this car, is absolutely gorgeous. It's gorgeous. C40 Recharge on sale from $60,000 when it hits the US market. That sloping rear roofline, I think, is bloomin' fantastic. Would you spend that, though, on the Volvo? Would you prefer a Polestar? I'd love to hear from you on any of today's stories. Right, finally, what about buying a used EV at auction? When it comes to purchasing used EVs, some people get battery anxiety, says the Mannheim Auctions president. The auction chain Mannheim investing $100 million in infrastructure, processes, and equipment to handle the numbers of EVs going into auction and ease bidder anxiety. They're going to start providing EV battery health reports provided to bidders, says the Mannheim president, with the batteries being the single most expensive bit of an EV, and a plug-in hybrid, of course, as well. When you purchase the car, you want to get a little bit of reassurance on how good or maybe how much that battery has been charged on AC versus DC fast charging, get a sense of the battery health as well, even what type of battery inside, what kind of warranty might be left with the manufacturer, and actually the range and the capacity left. So last year, there were 114,000 EVs on Mannheim's auction books, and that was a fraction of the 5.5 million odd they handled last year. EVs increasingly a proportion of that, though, and that's a great little move. I'll pop a link to Ward's Auto, where I found that story, in the show notes so you can read more. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you for listening. Right, question of the week. I'm not going to read out your answers on Sunday show tomorrow. We'll do it a week next week, because we're going to give this one 2 weeks for people to get their answer in. It'll be on the 24th Sunday. I read the answers out. What do you think about warranties, and what do you think about used car servicing? Do you want to see a used car that you buy, maybe auction like Mannheim we're talking about, or maybe privately, always going back to a main dealer, being serviced, maybe a third party, maybe no service at all? Do you care? What about the warranty issue on used cars? Tell me about when buying a used car, if you haven't done it, maybe you will do in the future. Do you care about the service history of that vehicle? People flippantly say, well, you know, EVs have no moving parts. Do they need servicing? Other people would say, I think so. So let me know your thoughts and email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, if you want, you can leave a little review on Apple Podcasts. A few words about what we talk about on the show helps me reach a new audience. But no worries if not. Thanks to our Patreon family. You can check out that at Patreon, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. And if you want to have a look at that page, it's how we fund this podcast. Thank you very much, as always, to our premium partners of the show. We give them a daily mention on the podcast. And that is you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future. Hi to Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and at emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.